Today I'm going to talk about the pillar of cloud and how this is a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and how the Holy Spirit related with the people, the Israelites back then, and what we can take from that to help us in our daily lives, in our daily walk with God. Because there's a picture really that this paints, certainly for me, I've found, that I think is really helpful. So we're going to look first of all at what I've called place, the place of the Holy Spirit. Then we'll look at the function. What does the Holy Spirit do? What did the Holy Spirit do with the Israelites? How did he relate to them? Then we'll look at what I've called focus, and then visibility. So four sections. It's nice to split things down into chunks. Apart from anything else, the Bible is split down into chunks. At its most basic, we've got two chunks, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So I think, you know, I'm in good company when it comes to chunking things. So, place. The Holy Spirit was set among the Israelites. So let's look at Isaiah 63, verse 11. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in open country, they did not stumble. Like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. I've read that several times this week, and a couple of things really stood out to me. The first was, as I've put underline in the note, he who set his Holy Spirit among them. The Holy Spirit, according to this verse, was set among the Israelites. The Holy Spirit was there among them, doing his thing. And he was put there. He went there and he was there. The Israelites were not without the Holy Spirit. However, a very different scenario from our interactions with the Holy Spirit, as we'll come to. But clearly the Holy Spirit was set among them. And there are a number of things that I'm going to pull out in different talks to do with this whole situation of the Israelites being led by the Spirit through the wilderness and through the sea and so on. There's some wonderful parallels. But in the spirit of accurate chunking, I'm just focusing today on the pillar of cloud. In verse 14 it says, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. I think in what's going on today and what's going on in around the nation and in people's lives and in our lives, we need that rest from the Spirit of the Lord. We need to sense and know, operate in, live in that rest that comes from the Spirit. And that comes to us, that came to, was given to the Israelites. And that guiding, as it says at the end of verse 14, this is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. The more they were led, the more they let themselves be led, the more they focused on being led and the guide that they had, the more God was glorified. God is glorified when we follow him, because we're effectively saying, God, we think what you say is more important than anything else, and we're going to follow that. So the way in which God dealt with the Israelites is a pattern for us. The way in which he dealt with the Israelites as a group of people is a type of how he deals with us individually. So there's lots to be learned from that, and some things that I want to share about that. So in the same way that he set his Holy Spirit among the Israelites as a people group, now in the New Covenant, he has set his Holy Spirit within each one of us as individuals. And instead of, you know, the Israelites being a whole bunch of people with the Holy Spirit, and we'll come to this as the pillar of cloud, the Holy Spirit is not external to us now. The Holy Spirit is internal. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. He wasn't inside the Israelites. As we'll see, he was in the midst of the camp. He was in the midst of them as a people. But now the Holy Spirit is in the midst of us, first of all, individually on the inside of us. But when we come together, he's also in the midst of where two or three are gathered together in his name. So it's an enhanced version. It's Holy Spirit 2.0 rather than Holy Spirit 1.0. So that's place. The Holy Spirit was set among the Israelites, and the Holy Spirit is set within each one of us. So what is his function? What did he do? What did the Holy Spirit do with the Israelites, and what parallels can we draw with our lives today? So Exodus 13, 21 to 22 says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." So what stood out to me from this is that clearly this pillar of cloud was a guide. The pillar of cloud represents the Holy Spirit, and he guided them on their way during the day and during the night. So the Holy Spirit doesn't clock off at 5:30 and, you know, head off and live his own life and says, "See you in the morning." The Holy Spirit is 24/7 with us, just as he was with the Israelites 24/7. The Holy Spirit will guide us whether we're going through a dark season or not, whether it's daylight in our lives or whether it's nighttime, whether we're going through a dark time. He is there. He led the Israelites through day and through night, and he will lead us through dark times as well as easier times. It doesn't matter whether we're going through the sunny uplands of life or whether we're going through a valley of death in our lives. The Holy Spirit is on the inside, and the focus of our lives, our priority, is to follow him. Whether it's sunny, the sunny uplands, we should follow him through the path that he is leading through those uplands. And if it's the valley of the shadow of death, again, same job we have, is to follow him through it. He will lead us through it. Just as it says, he gave the Israelites light. He was a pillar of fire at night to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. When things get difficult, we don't have to stop the journey. When we go through a dark season, we don't have to stop our walk with him. In fact, he becomes ever more brightly shining so that we can see the way. And verse 22 says, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night didn't leave its place in front of the people. He was leading the people. He had a place. He has a place, as I've said, with us and in us. He was a guide. He guided them and he gave them light. So he doesn't just guide and say, "Go this way." He shines. He lights up the way for us. In the New Testament, we've seen Romans 8:14 before, where it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We have a guide. He gives us light. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So it's not just the Bible as the word that is a lamp, although that is true. It's whatever he says, any advice he gives us, any direction he gives us, any rhema word he gives us, anything that comes from him will guide us, will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It will guide our way. So his function there was to guide and to give light. And it says in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit enables us to understand the things we've been freely given. So our journey through life, the guidance that he gives to us, is not just about the progression in our physical lives through whether it be, you know, go and work for this company, I don't know, marry this person, live here, live there. It's not just physical, the physical choices that we make. But there is also a spiritual trajectory to our lives, which manifests itself, I like to call it, in God's spiritual agenda for each one of us. He has an agenda for each of us that's bespoke, because he knows where we're at. He knows the things we know. He knows the things we struggle with. He knows our personalities. He knows everything about us. He has got a bespoke spiritual training agenda for us that the Holy Spirit will lead us through. He'll lead us through the agenda for our lives, if we will follow him. So his guidance covers that. You know, we might be settled in a home, in a job, in a marriage, in a whatever it is. The natural circumstances of our lives may be fairly fixed, and therefore we might not be looking for guidance on those areas. But he has a spiritual trajectory for us to go on, and he will guide us through that. For example, he might be wanting to work in me how not to give in to fear. Now that is I'm on a journey with not giving in to fear. I'm on a journey with strengthening myself so that I'm strong in spirit and not fearful. That is part of the journey, and the Holy Spirit will give me light on that part of my journey. That is part of my journey through life. It's the spiritual part of the journey. I'm on a spiritual trajectory with that. And he will guide. He will guide through scriptures. He will guide through reminding us of things when we're going through life and that temptation pops in to be afraid. And he'll remind us of a scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. He's the ultimate coach. If there's a football match or whatever match it is on the pitch, you've got the players playing on the pitch. The coach isn't playing the game. The coach is on the sidelines, sort of shouting encouragement and waving his arms. If you think about a football match, you know, they shout and wave their arms around and point and try and remind the players of all the exercises and drills and practices and strategies that they've worked on. If those players get on the pitch and they completely abandon everything that they've practiced, everything they've worked through with the coach, you know, the coach is going to feel pretty frustrated. It's like, guys, we've spent the last 3 months working through all these drills and practices and strategies. Now's the time to put them into operation. So I find, you know, I can read lots of anti-fear scriptures and meditate on them. And then when suddenly I'm in the middle of something and the fear strikes, it comes in unexpected, like a streak of lightning into my life. That's the moment when I'm on the pitch, I'm playing. I now need to kick in with my spiritual training that the Holy Spirit's been working with me on. And that's when I need to get hold of the word that says, Richard, let not your heart be troubled. Now is the time to do that letting not. Now is the time to take hold of that and actually do it. So he guides us through every aspect of life, whether it's in the natural or whether it's in the spiritual, in the things that he is working within us. He's got a plan and a purpose. He is the guide, and he will give us light to our paths through life. Just as he led the way for the Israelites in the Old Testament. In Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 12, and also in 19 and 20, verse 12 says, by day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way they were to take. That's exactly how the Holy Spirit works with us. He gives us light on the way we are to take. It's exactly the same principle. Verse 19, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor did the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. So the pillar and the cloud and the fire doesn't fail. God doesn't fail in giving us guidance on the way we should go. He doesn't fail to shine on our path to light it up. We might not be paying attention to him, but he doesn't stop paying attention to us. Verse 20, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. Are we hungry for the word in our mouths? Are we thirsty for more of a filling of the spirit in our hearts? Because I think he wants to give us, there's an endless supply of word, there's an endless supply of spirit for those who are hungry and thirsty. Deuteronomy 1:33 says, he who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. So he searched out places for them to camp. In the same way, he goes ahead of us and he is preparing a way for us. He searches out places for us to sojourn. Maybe that's where we live. Maybe that is what we do. But he goes ahead and prepares a way. You know, sometimes in films you see there are shots of the characters going through a jungle, and it's dense jungle, and you've got somebody in the lead with a machete kind of hacking away at the bushes, and whether it's bamboo or brush or all the stuff that is, there's no path there, but the person in front is cutting away through with that machete so that his team of people behind him follow through and walk down that path. I think that's a really good image of how the Holy Spirit makes a way for us. If you look at that dense undergrowth, you think, there's no way I can get through there. But the Holy Spirit is our guide, and he will take his machete and carve a way for us through. He goes ahead searching out places where we can camp, so where we can have a space to rest. But he makes a way. He showed the Israelites the way they should go. He will show us the way we should go as well. And now moving on to the third section, focus. This is all well and good. We know that the Holy Spirit is placed in us. He dwells in us. We know that he wants to guide us and show us the way. But then there is our part, which is focus. These things don't just drop on us. They don't land in our laps without us opening our eyes and getting out of bed. There are things we need to do, and what we need to do is focus. So let's look at this scripture, Numbers 9:15-22. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. That's quite a long passage, but I think it's really worth the time just to read through that, because it is so clear that the Israelites focused on what that cloud was doing. Whether it was for an hour, a day, a month, or a year, they focused, where is the cloud? Is the cloud moving on, or is the cloud staying? We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Our job is to keep our focus on the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? It's not just, is the Holy Spirit saying, move on or stay, but in every aspect of life, we are to look to the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead. Can you imagine waking up every morning in the Israelite camp, and there probably would be, you know, rumor control running throughout the camp. What's happening to the cloud? Is the cloud moving this morning? Has the cloud moved? No. Can you imagine day after day, you know, kids get up and run around the camp and they, you know, no, the cloud's still there. But then one day, suddenly, there's a rumor throughout the camp. The cloud is moving. The cloud has moved forward. We have to move. We have to go. The cloud's movement has told them, you've got to pack up your stuff, get going, and start following the cloud. The Holy Spirit does the same. There can be things that I've prayed about and I've got nothing. The cloud hasn't moved. I've got nothing. I've got no motion from the Spirit, no movement whatsoever. So I leave that thing alone. Then there are other things where suddenly there's a motion in the Spirit. There's the cloud has moved. There's some activity. I need to pay attention to that. What direction is the cloud moving? What is the Spirit saying? What is the sense I'm getting from the Spirit? Because there is motion on that subject. There wasn't on the other subject, but on this subject there is. I need to focus on Him. What is His agenda? I might go to Him, you know, I might go to Him and say, I need guidance on this, this, and this. And I get nothing. And then out of the blue, He might say, here's the guidance on that, that, and that. Because He's got an agenda for our lives, and it's the perfect agenda. When we follow His agenda, everything will be just right, in the right place at the right time. If we try and force it, we'll end up with something that's less than the best. And the good can be the enemy of the best. God wants the best for us. And if we keep our eyes firmly, I say our eyes, not our physical eyes, the eyes of our spirit, the inward sense, like I've talked about previously, we keep that sense on alert, then we'll be aware and of when He is saying something, when He's giving us a nudge, when He is making something clear to us. But I found that picture of the Israelite camp, and they are, it's not like they're on tenterhooks, but they are alert. That's probably the better word. They are alert to what the cloud is doing. Everything in their lives would revolve around, is the cloud moving today? Is the pillar of fire, when it's nighttime, suddenly that fire might start to move and they've got to get up and move, even though it's middle of the night. It's time to move because the Spirit is guiding them and leading them, and their job is to follow. Jesus said to people, follow Me. And the instruction hasn't changed. We are to follow the leading of His Spirit, Jesus' own Spirit. We are to follow the leading of His Spirit. But His Spirit is inside of us. That's the place where the Spirit is set. Just like the Spirit was set among the Israelites as the pillar and of cloud and the pillar of fire, He's set in us. The real thing, the Holy Spirit is inside of us, the fullness of God Himself. So that's our job. We need to keep our eyes peeled, our spiritual sense in tune, attuned to like a radio. You tune a radio, don't you? You might want radio one. You tune it, you turn the knob and the little thing moves down the numbers. You tune it into radio two. No, you don't want that one. Radio three. Every day when we wake up, we need to tune in to Radio Spirit. That's the channel we need to be tuning into all the time, so that our antenna are up. We're listening for his guidance, just as the Israelites would keep their eyes on the pillar by day or by night to see what was happening, to follow him. Imagine if the pillar had started moving and they just weren't paying attention. The pillar had moved and they stayed still. They didn't pack up, they didn't follow, they weren't aware. And so many people, I think, live like that. The Spirit is in their lives. He's set in the midst of them because they're born again. But they're not paying attention to the Spirit's leading. The Spirit is moving off like the cloud moved off, but they're not watching, they're not following. They're off on something else. Their attention is on something else. And I feel like for myself, so often my attention is on something other than the Spirit. Now, of course, our attention has to be on things like work or, you know, whatever it is we have to do. And we have to live. We are physical beings. There are things that are required simply by being alive. And those things aren't put aside. But the Israelites had exactly the same. It's just that they had in the midst of the camp was the and in front of them leading them was the pillar. And they focused on that as well as doing the things of that life required. Their attention was always tuned in to what the cloud was doing. Our attention always needs to be tuned in to what the Spirit is nudging us with on the inside. So that's why I devoted that whole section to focus, because I think that's so important, our focus. And it takes practice. It takes practice. And thankfully, we have the Word. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible, and which enables us to narrow in, hone in on thoughts, ideas that are Spirit inspired, because the whole of the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if we take chunks of word, at least we know we are focusing on something that the Holy Spirit has carved, the Holy Spirit has produced. And the more we meditate on it, the more we'll get the life of the Spirit from it. But finally, visibility. Let's look at Exodus 14, 19 to 20. Then the angel of God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. That's quite amazing. In the same geographic space, there was darkness to one lot and light to the other. It's a bit like saying, how can it be light in Horsham but dark in London? How can it be light in Southampton but dark in Cornwall? The geographical spaces are too close. It's not like London and Sydney in Australia, where we know that there are different time zones. So this clearly, to me, is also talking about the Spirit, because to some people, there is just darkness in the spiritual realm. To others, the Spirit lights up the spiritual realm to give people sight of what's going on. But those who see and those who don't are separated. And as it says, neither the Israelites nor the Egyptians went near each other. Now, obviously, in the natural, that was some kind of barrier that managed to, you know, it was like a hedge of protection that was around the Israelites. But at the same time, the Egyptians were just in darkness. Unless light is shone, there is darkness. But when light is shone, there is light, obviously. How does this translate into the way we live life in the New Testament? John 14, verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the world doesn't see the Spirit and it doesn't know the Spirit. Just like the Egyptians could not see the cloud. They didn't see because they were in darkness. The cloud brought darkness to them, but it brought light to the other side, to the Israelites. Back in John 14, verse 17, he says, "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So again, there are these two sides. The world doesn't accept the Holy Spirit because it doesn't see him and it doesn't know him, because the world is in darkness. But we, the children of God, we know him because he lives inside us. Interestingly, Jesus didn't say, "You know him and see him." He just said, "You know him." That's because the Holy Spirit is on the inside, and it's about knowing. It's about that sense of knowing what he is saying. We looked at that a few weeks ago when we talked about connecting with the Spirit. It's about, there are knowings, there are leanings on the inside. It's not about seeing with our natural eyes. It's about knowing with our spiritual inner being. So the Spirit can be known but not seen. And the world neither knows nor sees. To the world, it's like there is no God, there is no Spirit. But to us who focus, there is light, there is guidance. John 14:22 in the New King James says, "Judas," not Iscariot, "said to him, 'Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?'" So that's clearly, to me, a hearkening back to the cloud being visible, giving light to the Israelites, but darkness to the Egyptians. This Judas is saying, how are you going to manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? How is it that we're going to be in touch with you, but not the world? And Jesus replied in verse 23 from the NIV, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching," or rather, "anyone who loves me will attend to my word. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So clearly it's this coming and dwelling on the inside that is the manifestation of him to us and not to the world. Because the world is made up of a bunch of individuals, isn't it? Millions and millions and millions of individuals. But each one of them has the capacity and is built to be an individual who houses the Holy Spirit, if you like, who, once born again, is a home for the Holy Spirit. But of course, those who don't love him and don't attend to his word, not interested in what he says, not born again, then the Father and the Son won't come to them and won't make their home with them, and therefore they'll be empty on the inside. So this is how, in the new covenant, the Spirit is visible to some but not to others. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts." He shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light has shone in our hearts. We have light shining on the inside of us if we will turn our attention and look. The world, the individuals that make up the world who are not born again, they do not have that light shining on them. It's like they're in darkness, like the Egyptians were in darkness. But we, like the Israelites, we had the cloud. We had the pillar of fire by night shining. We have this shining light as a guide, a light to our path, a lamp to our feet. We have this guide on the inside of us. And just like the Israelites had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they needed to keep their attention on that pillar and follow every day and every night. In the same way, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and our job is to keep our attention on him and to follow him, because then we'll be walking in light and we will fulfill the plan that he has for us. So thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us. Thank you that you have given us light. Thank you that you dwell not just in the midst of us as a group of people, but on the inside of us. You dwell inside us. You have a place in our spiritual inner being. That is where you dwell, on the inside of us. And you're our guide. Thank you that you will guide us. Thank you that you will give us light, and that you want to guide, you want to shine light on our paths, because you have an agenda for us, you have a path for us to tread that is just right for us, perfect for us. Lord, help us to have that focus, that tuning in to you every day, every night, so that we see where is the cloud going, where is the fire going, where are you leading us? What are you saying in this situation? What is your word for us in this valley of the shadow of death, or on the sunny uplands? What is your word? That is more important than the sunshine or the darkness. What is your word on every matter that affects us? And Lord, thank you that you shine your light. You respond. Your word will come to us on the inside as light shining. Thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light. Lord, help us to grow in these things and walk in these things. Amen.